The overall picture for Easter is the most extreme example of forest destruction in the Pacific, and among the most extreme in the world. The whole forest gone, and all of its tree species extinct. Immediate consequences for the islanders were losses of raw materials, losses of wild-caught foods, and decreased crop yields. Raw materials lost, or else available only in greatly decreased amounts, consisted of everything made from native plants and birds, including wood, rope, bark to manufacture bark cloth, and feathers. Lack of large timber and rope brought an end to the transport and erection of statues, and also to the construction of seagoing canoes. Lack of large timber also meant that people were without wood for fuel to keep themselves warm during Easter's winter nights of wind and driving rain at a temperature of 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Instead, after 1650, Easter's inhabitants were reduced to burning herbs, grasses, and sugarcane scraps and other crop wastes for fuel. There would have been fierce competition for the remaining woody shrubs among people trying to obtain thatching and small pieces of wood for houses, wood for implements, and bark cloth. Even funeral practices had to be changed. Cremation, which had required burning much wood per body, became impractical and yielded to mummification and bone burials. Most sources of wild food were lost. Without seagoing canoes, bones of porpoises virtually disappeared from middens by 1500. Land birds disappeared completely, and seabirds were reduced to one-third of Easter's original species, confined to breeding on a few offshore islets. Palm nuts, Malay apples, and all other wild fruits dropped out of the diet. The shellfish consumed became smaller species, and smaller and many fewer individuals. The only wild food source whose availability remained unchanged was rats. In addition to those drastic decreases in wild food sources, crop yields also decreased, for several reasons. Deforestation led locally to soil erosion by rain and wind, as shown by huge increases in the quantities of soil-derived metal ions carried into swamp sediment cores. Other damages to soil included desiccation and nutrient leaching. Farmers found themselves without most of the wild plant leaves, fruit, and twigs that they had been using as compost. Those were the immediate consequences of deforestation and other human environmental impacts. The further consequences start with starvation, a population crash, and a descent into cannibalism. Surviving islanders' accounts of starvation are graphically confirmed by the proliferation of little statues called Moai Kavakava, depicting starving people with hollow cheeks and protruding ribs. Captain Cook, in 1774, described the islanders as small, lean, timid, and miserable. Numbers of house sites in the coastal lowlands, where almost everybody lived, declined by 70% from peak values around 1400 to 1600 to the 1700s, suggesting a corresponding decline in numbers of people. In place of their former sources of wild meat, islanders turned to the largest hitherto unused source available to them, humans, whose bones became common not only in proper burials, but also, cracked to extract the marrow, in late Easter Island garbage heaps. Oral traditions of the islanders are obsessed with cannibalism. The most inflammatory taunt that could be snarled at an enemy was, "The flesh of your mother sticks between my teeth." Easter's chiefs and priests had previously justified their elite status by claiming relationship to the gods and by promising to deliver prosperity and bountiful harvests. As their promises were being proved increasingly hollow, the power of the chiefs and priests was overthrown around 1680 by military leaders, and Easter's formerly complexly integrated society collapsed in an epidemic of civil war. What had failed in the twilight of Easter's Polynesian society was not only the old political ideology, but also the old religion, which became discarded along with the chief's power. Oral traditions record that the last Ahu and Moai were erected around 1620. Around 1680, rival clans switched from erecting statues to throwing down each other's statues. Thus, the collapse of Easter society followed swiftly upon the society's reaching its peak of population, monument construction, and environmental impact. The sad story of European impacts on Easter Islanders may be quickly summarized. After Captain Cook's brief sojourn in 1774, there was a steady trickle of European visitors. They must be assumed to have introduced European diseases and thereby to have killed many islanders, though our first specific mention of such an epidemic is of smallpox around 1836. Blackbirding, the kidnapping of islanders to become laborers, began on Easter around 1805 and climaxed in 1862-63, when two dozen Peruvian ships abducted about 1,500 people, half of the surviving population, and sold them at auction to work in Peru's guano mines and other menial jobs. Most of those kidnapped died in captivity. Under international pressure, Peru repatriated a dozen surviving captives, who brought another smallpox epidemic to the island. By 1872, there were only 111 islanders left on Easter. European traders introduced sheep to Easter in the 1870s and claimed land ownership. In 1888, the Chilean government annexed Easter, which effectively became a sheep ranch managed by a Chile-based Scottish company. Grazing by the company's sheep, goats, and horses caused soil erosion and eliminated most of what had remained of the native vegetation. Not until 1966 did islanders become Chilean citizens. Today, islanders are undergoing a resurgence of cultural pride, and the economy is being stimulated by the arrival of several airplane flights each week, carrying visitors attracted by the famous statues. In part, because of this history of exploitation and oppression, there has been resistance among both islanders and scholars to acknowledging the reality of self-inflicted environmental damage, despite all the detailed evidence.